Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley. Said I was going to do a second episode around this same similar topic as far as the last episode, and that is around these good developments in Georgia and True the Vote and 2,000 Mules, where the Secretary of State is looking at the ballot harvesting, the ballot drop box, fraudulent and criminal activity, detampering with federal elections that the True the Vote absolutely proved with their data. And then finally, once we got human corroboration, one of the actual mules who, hey, it wasn't that hard because a lot of the mules were delivering these ballots at strange times of night, you know, because they didn't want to be seen. So if you found that a certain phone went to five or seven different these places between, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning and five, hey, well, guess what? When you do get the video footage, which they got through Freedom of Information Acts, some of the people were clear on the video footage. And so we do have this fellow being one of the major traffickers, or rather mules, you know, just the low guy on the totem pole getting 10 bucks a piece, getting 45,000 for 4,500 votes. $45,000, admitting to it at the urge of his mother. And so with that human corroboration, even though the Secretary of State perfectly well had it already with the video, but apparently wasn't going to look into it, finally, since the guy came forward, Secretary of State is looking into it. But the downside of this is the great folks at True the Vote, it's a founder, a woman, and then the main investigator that you may have seen before, he kind of keeps his hair short, but does have a little bit of a beard going on. I think his name is Phillips. And I think it's Engelbrecht, maybe, is the female founder. They are in jail. They are in jail. Now, what are they in jail about? A civil case, supposedly contempt of court. Well, why? Because they don't want to give up their source. What source? Well, after being shown as being true heroes in the 2,000 Mules, willing to go ahead and crowd investigate something and follow up on leads and develop the data instead of just going full blue pill, somebody came to them and said, oh, by the way, you should look into the Konech Election Company, K-O-N-N-E-C-H. Yes, it ends with the letters C-H as in China, and the president his surname is Yu, like Edward or Edwin Yu or something like that. Yeah, and yes, he is a Chinese national. Now, he might be immigrated and naturalized by now, but he did immigrate from the from China into the United States and has a election software, but it's really a way to track election poll workers. So it's not even high tech. And he comes from communist China. So anyway, it's not that True the Vote folks were trying to specifically go back into it, but they got told by a whistleblower. Oh, by the way, this information on election poll workers, hundreds of thousands or more, and I didn't even know they created such a thing. It's to kind of almost do like keeping track and scheduling poll workers. It's really an odd deal. They are in on that. This company, and so the whistleblower says, yes, that makes it over into China. All that stuff makes it into China. And they showed the evidence. Some meeting down in Austin or Texas or something with the same True the Vote people. And so at that point, they were convinced. It wasn't one of these Steele dossier where somebody had hearsay and then Steele turns it into, oh, more convincing hearsay and just lying about what he actually heard. Listen, if True the Vote said there was evidence and it was the worker who came to show them the evidence, there was good evidence. I basically guarantee you this. And don't worry, there's more to it as far as whether my just impression is a good impression or not. You'll find out that there's it's not just a guess on my part. There's some other stuff that seems to probably back that up that's super duper strong. So this comes up about this company not securing stuff and allowing information on U.S. poll workers to get all the way to mainland China. And you go, oh, well, that's not cool, but it's almost like it could be on purpose given the whole situation. And so what happens? It's the next evolution in this situation. And actually, Kim, on Chemology, we didn't talk about it on the air, but in between episodes, we had a pretty good little go around, just a heated discussion. We don't get mad at each other. And we talked about this Alex Jones deal, and I said, you know, it's bad for anybody to be fined $1 billion just for wanting to investigate a big public issue. I don't care what it is, but the $1 billion aspect, that is purely terrorism. Don't you psychological terrorism? Don't you even think about looking into this type of deep level potential problems anymore? That's what he was looking at. Is like, is this deep level, like FBI, CIA, crazoids actually behind this? And so the psychological terrorism is that you do not look into things like that, or you will be on the bad side of, oh, the victims, not even the victims' family, saying that you've bothered them. Okay, and I am connecting this back to the Konech, and the Edwin U and the True the Vote. But let me make this connection as well. After years of, hey, what I say isn't as important as how you misread what I say. What I say, even as the author of the communication, the author of the language that came out of my brain with my own intent and meaning, and the normal meaning is not as important as whether you misunderstood it and were offended by it. And then I have to apologize for saying things. All right. So this little Alex Jones deal that wasn't just 10 million, whatever, $1 billion for a number of families. I mean, not a piece, but in total, $1 billion is really just terrorism about people looking into things. Now, if it was 10 million, even 100 million, I could say otherwise. But who do you know that's been fined for $1 billion? I mean, Pfizer has $2.3 billion, but that's a whole nother thing. They're not even getting the bad rep over it. They still get to fund advertising everywhere. What's Alex Jones get to do? You know, I mean, he didn't even get funded, didn't even get, quote, fined as much, even a half of, as much as Pfizer. Does that mean he gets? Does that mean he gets to sponsor sports halftime shows? Huh? Does that mean he gets to sponsor sports radio shows or a bunch of commercials all over the place? Turns out, no. So the end result of this idea of, hey, you can't say that, you offended me, is this very thing. That's a very China type of an idea, and I'm going to get to why I'm saying that. So Alex Jones, $1 billion, so the whole Sandy Hook thing. Now, we can agree or disagree as to whether or not, and I can stay uninformed or not on whether, if I would look way down into it, whether he had any connection to telling people, go bother the parents. But now he's liable for all of his consequences, all the consequences. The FBI and all of their informants on January 6th and all the active participants on that day trying to get people to go to the Capitol, while most of the genuine and authentic folks there for Trump were still where Trump was at the time. Boy, they're not culpable. Even with Operation Crossfire having been investigated by the Department of Justice and basically proving that there was a bunch of lies earlier on with the Steele dossier stuff. The FBI is not culpable for that. Apparently, they're not going to be culpable for anything on January 6th either. Not Ray Epps, not anything. But, oh, Alex Jones, $1 billion. And so, now the latest, True the Vote. You couldn't have had better and more transparent data analysis. You could not have had better. If this were to work, how would it work? And how could we prove this with open and available data that anybody could get? You could not have a more elegant and outstanding plan and investigation than what True the Vote did. And truly, truly nonpartisan. It's about election integrity. And so they get known for that a little bit, and then they get a whistleblower who says this information has gone over to China. So how are they rewarded with this? Well, the Konech, remember, Konech for China. Hello. I guarantee you that's why that's there. Just put a little bit of rib, you know, rib them a little bit. And never mind, and I'll get into this more in another episode, that he does have clear ties, and so does his company, to mainland China. But you don't have to go there. So the CEO is a something you. And so he says the True the Vote people have defamed him. And it's racist, and it's not provable. It's baseless and racist. Hey, guys. Remember the entire wackos, not libertarian, not conservative. What's the first thing they scream when anybody says anything? It doesn't matter if the other side has plenty of black candidates, plenty of Hispanic candidates, plenty of any number of race candidates, and they absolutely embrace them because they're politically on their side. Oh, as soon as there can be any small connection, no matter how stupid and no matter what the intent of the conservatives were, it's racist. It's like, no, I was criticizing their politics. You know how I could do that? How you can tell that? Because as I was talking, I was criticizing their politics. So this is the next logical step. We know that racism is a first go-to with non-thinkers and honestly opinion bullies in the United States and politics and elsewhere. Racism. So Edward Yu's company is accused of not keeping track of the poll worker stuff and keeping it in the United States, allowing it to go all the way over to China. All right. And so then he brings these people in and says, and oh, by the way, it's through some out of court hearing starts. I can't remember exactly the hearing. You'll have to look at it. But True the Vote didn't have a chance to kind of, you know, say what was going on preliminarily. They used some ex parte out of court type of a thing to start the action, which is another whole problem because the Constitution says you're supposed to be able to face your accuser. But no, I mean, the thing was more baked than it would have been by the time they knew about it. And so the True the Vote people, again, I think it's Phillips and Engelbrecht, said, we're not going to tell you our confidential informant. Because I said, you got to tell us your confidential informant, the judge says. Okay, why? Why? And it, shouldn't it just go to, and I can see how it could go there. But the point is, they weren't going to give the confidential informant. And remember, racist and baseless. Racist and baseless, says the CEO. The Communist China CEO, who, hey, guess what you don't get to do in Communist China? Speak out against anything even close to government corruption. So any old excuse bashes down a dissident. Anything. A dissident does not get to speak in China. They go to concentration camps. So you think they're used to not have, you think we're used to, our crazy people on the left. Not every person on the left is crazy, just some decent percentage of them. You think our lefties are used to going without hesitation to race and anything that can try to psychologically shut down someone who's trying to say something controversial that they don't want uncovered. Just think what Communist China does. So they immediately go to, we will terrorize them in a lawsuit, just like Alex Jones was terrorized, just like our NSA would do this type of thing. Absolutely and positively, they would. The FBI doesn't follow up with True the Vote on the 2000 Mules well. They were trying to, and True the Vote was trying to work with the FBI on this election poll worker stuff getting to China. And at first, the FBI seems like they're interested, and then they stop investigating. At that point, True the Vote makes it public. And then at that point, you goes, that's baseless and racist, and now people are mad at me and my family. Hey, we're not responsible for the rest of the stuff, and this is where we are. If I'm responsible for you getting in, for people not liking you because you've been accused of something awful, well, the only consequence I should have to deal with is whether or not that might be true, okay? And what you should have to deal with. And if it is, or if it was if there was a good possibility that it was, this associated stuff, and it scared my family, and we had to move. Well, you shouldn't have been doing something criminal that would make a bunch of law-abiding citizens pissed off at you, like allowing poll worker information to go overseas. All right? But here's the kicker of it. So it's baseless and racist. And this judge, who must be senile, appointed during the Reagan era, says, yes, if you do not tell us your confidential source, you will go to jail for contempt of court. As of this last Monday, I speak to you late on a Friday night on the 4th of November. They did go to jail. Phillips and Engelbrecht were in jail because they were not going to burn their confidential source, because a confidential source was a worker that could be at harm by the Chinese Communist Party. Hello? They have concentration camps, ladies and gentlemen. So, someone's trying to be a little bit humane, and the judge should know better. But the judge, you know, this isn't the United States. Reagan, Cold War, remember? Remember, old man? Old War, Reagan? Cold War, Reagan? China, Russia, remember all that stuff? Soviet Union, remember all that? Evil regimes and what can happen to a dissenter? So that's why we don't want to blow our confidential source. You have the information that we said, and now we can talk about whether it was newsworthy and so here it is. Do you not believe me that this is the information from the source? I can show you the information, but I'm not going to blow the source itself. The judge says, you better or else. And that makes you wonder, okay, the same, I'll go to the end of that on the next episode. But the kicker is this. Sometime after this, the New York Times, literally, of course, because sometimes they're like the Post, they're an intelligence rag, has either an op-ed or an article that, you know, of course, character assassinates True the Vote, who has done more, better work on election integrity than almost the entirety of the media has done as far as focus and concentration and not allowing a bunch of bullshit to also interfere and clog things. And that ratio of bullshit to not, then all of the media has done about the entire COVID and controlled demolition of the economy after, and the cover for the experimental vaccine that has massive side effects. This True the Vote has done more focused, important work about this one subject than those folks have about that subject or any of the related subjects all the way around it. COVID, the COVID vaccine, all the riots, January 6th, and so on. And so, of course, New York Times is going to character assassinate them. So they character assassinate True the Vote, talking about the Edward Yu thing and how ridiculous that is. And guess what? The next day, Edward Yu is arrested in Los Angeles. And the prosecutors say this might be the biggest data breach in many, many years. And so let's talk about very quickly, and then I am going to connect on the next episode. I say Edward Yu. I don't have it right in front of me. I was reading it this morning. His last name's Yu. I don't remember if it's Edwin or Edward. I could have that, could even be wrong. And so, civil trial. And just whether or not you're supposed to be able to talk about a CEO and a company's doings. So we don't get to criticize companies anymore. We now get to connect it to the individual who's a CEO and whether that makes him butt hurt. Really? Really? Is that where we're going as a country? Is that where we're going as a country? Because last I checked, the allegations weren't whether Edwin Yu or whoever beat his children. It's whether his company allowed the data should have stayed onshore to go offshore. And now we get to argue that Edwin Yu is butthurt and that his children and he are harassed at home. Hey, we just said Konech was a bad situation. We weren't trying to make any connection to the CEO. So why this judge even has allowed this is mind-blowing. But remember, of all the data that they could get without having to offer any real data expertise, what could be more helpful to the Communist Chinese as far as screwing around with an election than poll workers? You know when they're good, and scheduling for them. You know when to approach them. You know when to offer them bribes if that's maybe your motivation. You know when to catch them with something or the other word, not bribe, but you know, extort them because of something. You know, you can start following them. You can start threatening them. Nonetheless, you know where they are. You can use some of your operatives in the U.S. to see if some of them will go for some of this nonsense that happened in 2020, where they kick poll workers out and applaud and then pull the ballots out from underneath card tables that have the cloth on them, the tablecloths on them, the long tablecloths. So we have a prosecution that has a much higher burden of proof. You know, they think that we're going to be able to prove this beyond a reasonable doubt, and they arrest him. And yet, and it's not been 2-3 days. It was well before the judge said, contempt of court, you will be jailed if you don't tell me. Can't you see? Judge, seriously, think outside the box. So, yeah, contempt of court, even though the whole idea was it's baseless and racist. Now, the racist, that's out. But baseless, it's clearly not baseless. Or prosecutors and investigators would not have investigated and then arrested. So, I don't know, presumably Engelbrecht and Phillips attorneys are arguing that. And if the judge is not listening to that, and again, you have to make a good legal argument, but one would wonder, at least speculation, whether or not, I'd like to see his finances, honestly, because he might be senile or his finances might be very, very interesting lately. Or have they extorted him too? And I don't know any of that. But I mean, seriously, if the idea is it's defamatory because it's baseless, A, again, we get to criticize companies in America. We get to make news out of company problems in America. I know that's not the situation where you come from, but you're in America and there's accusations and you're supposed to talk about accusations of companies and wrongdoing in America. We don't get to then tie it to, oh, by the way, you're not even liable, at least in a financial sense. I mean, it's the corporation, right? Now, if you do enough criminal wrongdoing, you can be liable. And so the idea of bringing them to court is purely, again, psychological terrorism. So, yeah, that's crazy. We'll see what the judge does. And again, I haven't looked to see what the absolute latest update is. Maybe they've been finally released. But the fact that they would even go after the person has been jailed is pretty insane. The next episode, we'll talk about this character, and I'll have the specifics more as far as this background of this company that, oh, Kanech, it literally, dude, literally, he's a Chinese nationalist. The end of his company just conveniently ends with CH. I mean, sometimes the naivety of the United States and their institutions is just amazing, isn't it? Okay, that's it for me. Thanks for listening to the Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley.